see the way that she see it, see it, see it. A lot of people want a relationship, but not everyone is ready for one. So today we're talking about when you should get into a relationship and what nobody tells you to expect when you're finally in one. I'm Levo, and this is
Thato Rampedi. Welcome back to C2 with Levo and Thato Rampedi. Ladies, this one is for you. I've realized that every time I interact with people, I see that people actually struggle to find love.
Yeah.
People struggle to understand love, and I'm really excited to unpack this conversation.
Yeah. I just want to mention, so we kind of changing the formats a little bit. Maybe 1 week we'll do a story, then 1 week we won't do a story. But this is still motivated by the anonymous stories that you guys send. So we're doing a thing where we also build our topics around these stories as well. So so the person that sent the anonymous story, this will very much still help
them. Speak to you.
We just without obviously reading your story out loud.
Because we merged like 2-3 stories into one.
So... this topic is one that I think that everybody asks themselves. Am I finally ready? I've been single for a certain amount. Should I have been single for this amount?
Yes.
Just off the bat, before we even go into this, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
One, two. How are you?
Go ahead. You know what I liked the other day?
You look very smart, by the way, today, before you even start.
I'm wearing lens smart.
Yeah.
Shout out to Lensmart for sending me 3 pairs of these shades. Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
It's not paid promo. The paid promo is going to be on Instagram.
Yeah, but still, you look very smart.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's the lenses. Mm. I was just saying, I was with Clumita the other day, and then I hugged and I greeted, and I was like, how are you? And she said, hey, damn, you really be speaking the way you're speaking in your podcast. It might not have been Clumita, but it was one of my friends.
Yeah.
And I was just there like, that's so crazy. Like, who we are here is genuinely... it's genuinely who we are, which is really exciting. Definitely. But yeah, man, I'm good. You know, I actually was crashing out the past 2 weeks, like internally, mentally. I think it's because I lack structure.
Yeah.
All right. And everybody knows I do a lot of things. Leb and I do a lot of things. My team does a lot of things. One moment we're working with influencers, one moment we're working with corporate brands, one moment we're working with influencer marketing agencies. We're just doing a lot of work. And in that, I also do a lot of things in my individual capacity.
Yeah.
And that takes such a big toll on my mind and my energy, right? And one thing that I needed to do was pray against that confusion.
Yeah.
So I prayed against that confusion. I prayed against like not knowing what to do, being overwhelmed, because I was used to waking up in the morning and working 10 hours, like literally going reels, TikToks, Growth Malumi, everything, teaching. And then like that worked for 2 weeks and then I literally burnt out.
Yeah.
And the burnout was actually really bad, because now I'm in a situation where I wake up and I'm used to doing a 10-hour sprint and I can barely even get started.
Yeah. Everything pulls from you, bro.
Everything pulls from you. So one thing that I did on the weekend was pray against this thing. And then Monday, like early in the morning, I woke up actually like 2-3. I actually started thinking about this thing quite heavily. And Sunday helped a lot, because at Sunday we were at church.
Yeah.
And at church during praise and worship, after like 2 songs, I like just like being deep within prayer. Mm. And I was just like crying to God and saying like, dude, I'm struggling with these things. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, is this redirection? What's going on? I just really need to know. And then after that, I started just praying. And then I started kind of answering myself and like giving myself the plans that I need. One thing that I really lacked was structure. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I didn't have structure anymore, because I have these new ideas and these new businesses, which are doing well, but they lack structure. Mm-hmm. And usually before I start anything, I always have a structure and a plan. So Sunday, thought about the plan. Monday, woke up in the morning, thought about the plan. And then I got you. And then I literally said, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. This is how I'm going to be managing the Growth Malumi account. This is how I'm going to be managing this account. And then I literally delegated as much work as possible. Mm-hmm. So I planned the content for the week. Then I gave it to Ruby and Tabang. I said, okay, guys, please create a carousel a day. Please, let's shoot these videos. Yesterday, we shot like 19 videos. And then now we're in like post-production. So that helped me so much, because it's like I had help around me, but I didn't know how to use it. Mm. And I feel like a lot of people at home are going through the same thing. We know what we need to do. We know what we need to focus on. And we know that we need help. But we lack the ability to say, hey, Lebo, I'm struggling with this thing. Could you please help me? Hey, Tavi saying, I'm struggling with this thing. Could you please help me? Do you get what I'm saying? So, yeah, my answered prayer was ask for help and just have more structure. So I woke up today feeling so much lighter. I even stretched before I got into the shower. And then I did a bit of a jump. I said, hoo, 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 hoo. You're powerful. Hoo, 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 hoo. You get me? I was able to go. So I'm feeling quite good.
Do you think at a certain age, like as a man, we have to start like gaslighting ourselves to like...
I think we need to start
No, I mean, gaslighting is the wrong word.
Yeah.
But it is sort of like that. It's like to delude oneself into this like, yo, everything's good. Be hyper energy, you can do it, because that is what produces results. That version of you is what produces results.
I think we're in an era where gratification is so easy to get, like instant gratification.
Definitely.
Dopamine is so easily accessible. So we need to be in a position where we have to counter that. So we're not gaslighting ourselves entirely, but what we're doing is that we're speaking life into ourselves and like allowing ourselves to actually go and tackle the day.
Yeah.
So it's like we're just tackling the world, which is so against us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, so real. The world is very much
against us. It's against us.
Some people say, is it against you or for you?
It's against you.
It's supposed to be for you.
It's against you. In the foods that we eat, in the things that we listen to, everything that we like that is around us, it's all this big system to help these big conglomerates win, like doctors, medicine.
But while maintaining to make the people weakened and also not that ambitious and not grouped. And not grouped. Everyone has individual problems. It's never a group problem. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
The world is like a toxic toxic parent that teaches you enough to get going, but never really allows you to like open your wings and fly.
Yeah.
Because if you open your wings and fly, you won't need them anymore.
Yeah.
And we've got these institutions that need us to never open our wings and
fly. Never, ever.
Yeah.
Could you imagine South Africans, like just one country, South Africa as a whole, just says to themselves, okay, cool, we're not taking a capitalistic approach anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to be, we're changing the whole economic system. Mm. Everybody's going to work for this amount or whatever. You know, like one of those, it becomes basically like a dictatorship, basically.
Yeah.
But everyone's equal, you know what I mean? The whole world would revolt against. I mean, look at Korea. Yeah. Korea does its own thing, and what does the world do?
Yeah.
It revolts.
I really think Africa should close its borders. Like we should just operate as one continent for a little bit. And feed into each other and fix how we can like travel to each other's countries and how we work together. Because we need each other. And it's like we are able to exist without each other. Sorry, we're able to exist with each other and just each other.
Yeah.
But obviously we're in this big system where
there's too many
like the world has gaslit us and made us feel like we need
way
them.
Too much economic like boundaries to be able to achieve that, bro.
Yeah.
Like trade alone. Is already so trade alone, majority of trade is in dollars.
Yeah.
Already. I mean, how could Africa trade of itself in dollars? You know what I mean? Like it's already like a system built against
us. I think it would kill like what wealth looks like today.
Yeah.
But then us killing it and then starting it from afresh would really enable enable even more wealth. But the thing is, you're an economist, that's gonna take not 10 years, not 15 years, not 20.
Do you now see why people like fall so deeply in love with sci-fi worlds and fantasy worlds and history as a whole? Because it's like they had such a different, complete belief on a world scale to us, like as human beings now, who suffer in this world that we ultimately... But anyways, not the point.
Yeah, I agree.
Not the point. So
how are you?
How am I? I'm really good. I'm really good. I'm very happy. Very happy at this current time. I've been speaking rest into my sentences a lot. I've been saying, I need a vacation. I've been even saying this one payments I'm going to get. I keep saying, vacation payout is coming. Payout is coming.
In the roots.
Because I don't know, man. I feel like I've had a certain type of fun this year. And I've also been through so much in this one, like half year, like a lot of like mindset change, a lot of like emotional like change, a lot of like value change as well.
Yeah.
So that was just super stressful, super hard to do, super hectic. And I just feel like my body is just screaming at me like, yo, bro, like you need to sit still somewhere and just reconnect to like what you want to do again. Like, as you said, like the deep thoughts of what you want to do and how you want to do it. You know what I mean? And the type of life I want to live. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you must understand, guys, as a man gets older, you start looking left and right more and more and more and more. Like, it goes from looking straight, because that's all you do in your younger 20s. Like, what can I accomplish in this amount of time? What can I do? Can I graduate? I can get a job. I can do this. But once you've gotten the degree, things, the job, the payment, the flat, you start looking left and right like, yo, like, what am I supposed to be like? What is the overall thing I'm supposed to be doing in this life thing? You know, some people, they just focus on their jobs. Some people get married and have 8 kids.
Yeah.
Other people, you know what I mean? Everyone has their, other people are criminals. Other people, everyone has their life choice.
Yeah.
And I just sort of wanted to figure out what's my life choice.
Yeah.
But this weekend also went to church. Mm. And I loved it, bro. Like it's I would say my girlfriend's cousin's church.
Yeah.
Right. And I loved it. I loved every single moment of it. I loved the praise and worship. I loved how the church was like, it's like it's in a circle of the priest and the band in the middle.
You're standing on the chairs.
It's like chairs. It's chairs and stuff. You know what I mean? And it kind of felt like old school. Like, you know when you see a photo of like God, Jesus painted and it's like in a circle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Felt like that old school vibe. And yeah, I loved that, nice. How many people there were. And one of the things that touched me the most, and I texted Tato this immediately after the pastor said this. I said, ha.
You text me, you called me.
I called you and then you answered and I texted.
I was at church.
Yes, because you were at church. And I literally said, bro, the pastor just said, yo, if anyone's struggling this week, if anyone, you know how much you need to get through this week that's coming, just go grab money from the tithes. Whoever donated money, just go grab. There's a bucket at the back where people put money. Just go put money there. If whatever you need for this week, just go grab it. I said, I start laughing because I'm thinking the pastor's joking. So I'm the only one in church, like, people are, like, leaving at this point. I'm like, this is real. Like,
yeah.
I could not believe it. And it just touched my heart. It's like, wow, like, that gave me a kind of a sense of, like, this may be where I belong in a church sense. Mm. Literally told my girlfriend, like, I want to go next week again. I want to go this week. Super excited about that journey also. But
yeah. It's going to be a beautiful one.
Awesome. Before we start, and again, the title of the podcast is When Should I Get Into a Relationship and What Should I Expect, right?
Yeah.
I thought it'd be a super, super, super funny exercise if we could calculate the total amount of time of us that we've spent in relationships in our lives.
You're an asshole.
So if you can, in your brain, your phone, whatever, just add up the years you spent.
Okay, let's do it.
I mean only serious partners.
Yeah.
Only serious partners. The
I don't even remember, bro. Okay, so let's do this. So let's start in my... Okay, so I didn't date up until I was 18. So I was single for 18 years.
When again? Okay, I'm still adding. You can speak, yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So I was single for 1 to 18. So I'll say I was single throughout high school, which I think is very powerful. And then in first year, I dated for 3 months, single for the remainder. Yeah. And then in second year, I got into a relationship for 3.5 years.
Yeah, I even forgot to add someone here. Sorry, yeah. And then
I was in a relationship for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
After the 3.5 years, I took a break for maybe like a year. Right? After that year, I dated again for 2.5.
Then couldn't raise your it's your wall.
It's indicator.
What's it called? It's your ceiling.
It's my ceiling. Yeah. 2.5 years. And then from there, on and off.
On and off.
So it's 3.5 years, 2.5 so, years, three, 2 years.
Three
plus 2.5.
Yeah.
Plus, three and a half. Did I say 3.5?
You said three, but I'll add a half here now. Sure.
She was 3.5. And then the other one was two and a half. And then it was two.
Then it was two.
And then now it's maybe let's say been a year.
And been a year. So that's 9 years of your life. Isn't that insane to put into context? Okay. And then now let me
I'm 29, mine. So I dated most of my 20s. When was I single?
When were you a child?
I think I made a mistake, but yeah, okay, go for it.
What do you think was the mistake?
The 3.5. I think it was 2.5. So maybe 8.
Okay, so 8.5 years.
Yeah, 8.5.
Okay. Mine might even be more than yours.
Yeah, 8.5 or 7, but I feel like 7.
I did 1 year and then we broke up. Then I did the 2.5 years. And then we broke up. Then I did another year and a half and then we broke up. And then I dated the other one for a year. And then I dated the other one for 1 year. And then this one now for a year and 1.5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, yay! What's up? And you guys say I'm a serial dater. Let's get dates in secret. Let's get dates in secret.
Do you know how many exes I had in that one sentence? Dude, 1, 2, you expose yourself. Yo, that's too many exes.
Spooky lady, can you guess?
Before you ask Spooky lady, and I want to say that 2 of those 1 years, we didn't date, but I feel like because of the time we spoke, that was basically dated. Yeah.
Spooky lady, anyways, how many, if you had to guesstimate?
My years.
Yeah.
How many years do you think you dated?
Can I also calculate?
Yeah, sure.
Give me a second. I'll come back to you.
Okay. You'll come back. When you have the answer, to let us know. But
I know, because Spooky Lady is probably 3-4 years in total of dating.
Yeah, maybe 4. Okay. But anyways,
damn.
Fun little exercise. Because if you take your, because you're 29, right? Yeah. 8.5 divided by 29. That's 30% of your life. Mm. How, guys, I don't think you get it. Me, that means it's worse.
Catering to somebody else. 30% of my life, catering to somebody else.
30% of my life, yo, like 30% of my life.
Let me say loving somebody else.
And that just puts it into, I wanted to say like the seriousness.
Yeah, because some people are zero.
Yes, for some people it's zero or one.
Yeah.
Or two.
Or half or something. Or half. Yeah.
I wanted to put it into the seriousness of how much time a relationship can take away from you and give you in terms of giving you skills and stuff, but also take away from you in terms of your finances, time, who you could have been loving.
Yeah, and who you becoming.
And who you becoming.
A relationship also defines who you become.
Yeah, so, okay, how do you know, for you, how did you know in those 8.5 years, 8.5 years of your life that you were ready to date those people? How did you know? And if you didn't know, also explain why you confused knowing.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So I think with me, my dating experience started by me really yearning for it. Yeah. So I was in an all-boys school in a white environment, and I really was never around any black women that were attracted to me.
Yeah.
Right? Or maybe let me say I wasn't around black women that maybe I had the confidence to go and court. Both of those two things. So when I got to university, the only reason why I started dating was because I always just yearned for it. I just wanted it. I always saw people dating. My peers were in love. My peers would go on dates. For me, that was all just a fantasy. Yeah. So for me, it started because I wanted to do the thing that everybody was doing.
Yeah.
And then when I was in the first one, the first proper one, I realized, okay, this thing is fun because you have like a partner and a companion. But that's why I started.
Yeah.
Let me not go too much. Why did you...
I like how you went backwards. Okay, so in high school, I was like, I know, like, a lot of you won't believe it, but I was heavily rejected in high school. Like,
I believe it.
Like, yeah, do you though? Do you believe it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't. But I was heavily, I was rejected by this one girl that I really had like the biggest
crush on.
Biggest.
Which high school did she go to? Rodine.
She went to, yeah, basically Rodine. Sure, why not? biggest crush on her. Like I absolutely adored this girl, bro.
Yeah.
Like I didn't even I would even be her friend if she dated someone else. Like to that extent of where you just
you need her close.
Like I just loved this girl. And she would just reject me. And obviously when you get rejected like that, you're thinking like nobody wants you, nobody. Mm. Then you get to uni and everybody's like, dude, you're a fucking vibe, mate. You're a vibe. And they're holding themselves and you're like, wow, everyone like really is appreciating like my
receiving you.
My energy and when I speak, I'm heard. And and this girl's looking at me in the eyes and it's like the sudden gratification. Like it just made me feel like, oh rah, like, oh my goodness, like I'm ready to date everybody in South Africa.
Whoa.
Like that was my feeling at the time.
Yeah,
like
you
feel like this hot stuff. Like I can date anyone in SA.
Yeah.
But the next question was actually, it's like, was I looking for a partner? Was I looking for attention? I don't know. I think I was looking for attention the majority of the time.
Yeah.
There's a certain loneliness that I have that I don't know. Like, I don't know if people comment back home, like, this loneliness I feel when I'm single. Mm. It's like I have this undying craving to like build life with someone.
Wow.
And like, I know I'm called to be a husband. I've always known that since I was like a youngin, like since I was in high school. The concept of love, you know, I grew up in a Catholic school, you know what I mean? So the way they would describe love was this beautiful anointing in front of God that you've chosen this person forever. It was never like, Batubajola, and then they decide to spend their lives together. It was like an anointing.
And you've always
actually... It was a calling.
And you've always approached relationships like that.
Yes, yeah, so it was like a calling. Like,
whenever
like,
you date, you are there like, dude, this is my
wife. I want to marry this person.
We're going in.
Since I was a... In Tuana,
yeah,
I'd say I picture this person in a wedding dress. Obviously, I'm delusional,
yeah,
and my heart is speaking louder than my thoughts.
Your heart is beating custard. What about you, Spoko Lady?
What for a woman is indicators of like I'm ready to date?
Yeah, doesn't have to be your first story, but then when do you feel like, yeah, no, Jolo is for me right now?
I think for me, it's when I've taken time for myself, like for example, women get very consumed by relationships. Like we have this, I don't know what it is, default setting sometimes. It depends. I think it stems from an issue that is maybe unidentified. However, we sometimes get so consumed and like wrapped in the man's world that we forget about ourselves. So for me personally, it's when I feel like I've built enough mental strength and emotional strength and then also built my life a bit. So it doesn't necessarily revolve around, I have stuff to do too. Because that's where I feel like most of us then want a lot of attention, but the man is trying to make money. So it's like, yeah, when I've kind of reflected on myself and my current standing.
Completely different to why we start dating, by the way.
I'm trying to like digest what you're saying. Kind of gives like the, like everyone wants to give the best version of themselves to their partners. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, cool. I'm ready for a relationship. I'm ready to give my best parts to someone. But we also, I know this sounds like really crazy, but you also need to be prepared to give your dark side to your partner. That's the side that no one really like
talks about.
Like, yo, like I must be ready to be like, okay, listen, hey, dude, like I'm actually not close with this family member and this family member, and it hurts me like this because of, you know what I mean? Like, and that person has to be ready for that. Mm. But what we do is that when we're in these talking stages, it's like we
surface level
advertising. You know, I saw it was like one of my close friends. I saw on a friend's close friend. Mm. She's reading this book and it redefines dating in your 20s, right? Mm. And she says that people need to move completely away from one-on-one dating. Like, let's go get dinner one-on-one. They said that it is the fastest way to learn the lies about a person, not the truth nature of a person. Yeah. It says instead, you should look to have representatives in your dates. So it can be a concert and you go, you know, two on two, and you bring a friend, they bring a friend. So you can hear from another person's word of mouth, like, how's this person? It's such a interesting way to think about dating as well. Yeah. It's like, what do we give? What do we want to learn about a person? You know what I mean? Like, sorry, I'm just thinking about all of that. Yes, you can go ahead. Yes.
I want to kind of counter that because it's not always the safest option. A lot of men are wingmen to each other. So you might know that, you know, and women too. So it's not necessarily isolated to gender. However, it's not necessarily accurate. I don't think the two-on-two dating, the double dates, especially if, for example, I'm going on a date, spoke a lady with Tato, you know, and I'm going on a date with Tato, and then I say, let me bring my friend. Of course, my friend is, you know, going to say the best things. They're going to oversell me, if anything.
I once went on not a double date. We were just with Tato and you with a girl, and I was with a girl. Yeah. And Tato literally picked the girl up and put her on his shoulders. I was like, okay, this double date is getting too far now.
It was so funny. I think we came from a concert or an event. And I was with CK actually.
Oh, yes.
And then, like, we were at the mall.
Yes.
And then it was me and her, and then you and your partner, and then our friend Fiso.
Yes.
And then I put her on my shoulders because I can't remember why. I was just having fun, bro.
Like,
Fiso was like, this is why I don't do double dates.
I was like, that is so real. The performance level of a double date.
It's
so
not performance.
I agree with what you're saying. It's like, what is it then?
It's the couple being.
You're just seeing how we love each other.
It's we're being. If our being is affecting your relationship, then there's a bigger issue. But also, just to add on to what she said.
Go ahead.
I think that's why, like, I think your friend is on. Like, I think there's power in being in environments with the person.
Like,
first date, one-on-one, do the concert and stuff. But go with the eye, like, be real. Go with the eye of not seeing how they, don't be pop up by the friends.
Yeah.
But see how they interact with other people, how their friends interact with them. If you can have that lens, then you can actually see things about your partner that you were never going to see one-on-one.
I'm lying, sorry. So I think she said the one-on-one is like an interview. That's what I meant. I forgot to mention.
No,
but same kind of the same language. So it's fine. What are some of the worst reasons you've heard for people getting into relationships? Like, one of the worst reasons you're like, ah, dude, that's not a good enough reason. You need to have this and this.
Yeah, go for it.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
For me, I think I've seen a lot of women's mindsets. Sometimes they go in for bread.
Oh, money. Yeah. I've seen men also. I've had friends who've done that.
I've always wanted to.
Ex-friends.
I've always wanted to.
Yeah, I've always wanted to date
I've
for
always
money.
Wanted to date for money.
I've always wanted to date I've for money. I just have never had the confidence.
There's a point where I was 26, 27.
Yeah.
And then I had a friend who used to go for older women. So he was the same age as me.
Yeah.
He would date like 34, 35. Yeah. They'd have these double stories in Pretoria.
Yeah.
And like they have like maybe 1K, but then they have like a nice car and then they'd have money. Mm. So I used to be like, dude, like...
How is it?
No, stop gatekeeping. Like, invite me to the house. Tell her to bring some friends, you know? And then let's see what happens. And he never allowed it. But I also get it, though, because if that happened, like what his partner at the time was doing was low-key like wrong.
Yeah.
You know? Like it's wrong. Cause maybe he was just like a boy toy vibe thing. So now she can't invite her friends and show her friends how she's living with this younger man.
Yeah.
Cause maybe not all her friends behave like that.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted to give it a try. But obviously now it's too late.
Which is what I want, like, women to know in South Africa. You know how, like, South African men, you know, judge you guys for having blessings and stuff. We're jealous. We are so jealous. You know how I would love to be taken out for dinner, paid for my haircut, and taken to Cape Town. I want to have Cape Town highlights.
Yeah.
I want to have Cape Town. I want to have Dubai highlights. I want that all, girl. Like, I see that life and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. All you have to do is lump to someone. That's amazing. Awesome. Cool. You know, I've lumped to people for cheaper. You know what I mean? So,
for less.
But, yeah, South African men are very, 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 very jealous. But dating for money, man, like I've never been able to. I've tried to do it.
Yeah,
I've tried to just put my I close my eyes because a woman was making enough money that I felt like she had enough money to sort herself, live her life, and etc. But I couldn't close my eyes to the character, like behind the money. That some people can do it. I can't do it. It's just too much.
I think another reason which I think is a bit like silly is like dating out of like feeling alone.
Yeah.
I feel like you can date because you want companionship, right? Like you want a companion.
Yeah, you
want
to build a life.
You want to build a life with someone. You want to have that. But like now when you feel alone, sometimes that loneliness doesn't stem from you being single.
Yeah.
It stems from you not like lacking identity, you not having purpose, you not having community.
Yeah.
So I think for me that's a really silly thing. I once did that.
Yeah.
I didn't understand myself, didn't know myself. I couldn't picture my future past like next week.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? I didn't even know what my exams were.
Yeah.
But I dated because I wanted to stop waking up and feeling alone when I should have tackled something else. That's why I think women have such a nice approach when it comes to dating. They really work on themselves, understand themselves, and then they go and date. And they have, some women. And then they have those friendships that like give them community. And then they have those things that give them identity. They know their purpose. They know that, okay, cool. By 30, because women plan. By 30, I want to, you know, be saving babies in Nigeria. And I want to have an NGO. And I also want to be selling like, you know, clothing that empowers, you know. Like women are so like, I've always lacked that thing of like, I want to have a business to empower 13 to 17 year olds.
And you know, men, I wanted to say, just to touch on what you said, men are so lonely, bro. And that's something that like, a lot of women don't know. And like, a man's loneliness causes them to treat women like, you know, badly. My sister, they don't let them request for you at 10 p.m. You're not Uber Eats. You land in 20 minutes. You're faster than McDonald's. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, come on. Like, be for real. So I just want people to know that, like, you're like, some men will build relationships with women just purely out of being lonely and just wanting someone next to them. Like, it's not because they want you or which is so sad because I feel like women actually don't do that. Hey? Like, I feel like women don't do that.
They don't.
I really feel like women don't do that. Yes, but yes.
I just have a question to pose to the both of you. How do you think you guys dating out of loneliness, besides the, you know, 10 p.m. call, come over, whatever, just in a deeper relationship, let's just say you got into a serious relationship from loneliness, how do you think that affects the relationship? Or how have you seen that, if you have been or if you've seen a friend in a similar situation?
Oh, I have so many answers to that one.
Okay,
because I've lived it. It has positive and negative effects, 100%. And I think
this being the loneliness.
Yeah, like no, it's like dating someone out of loneliness
and then being in the relationship.
So one of the negative effects is that you make that person your everything.
Yeah.
Right? They're the person that you eat with, talk to, chill with, brainstorm with, work with, exercise with, everything. You do everything with them. They become your center. And now they become your center of like of happiness and joy, right? And then what happens is most of the time is that you end up actually isolating that person to do the same with you. Because now you have no community, you have no identity, no purpose. So now you end up forcing that person to start behaving the way that you're behaving. So now to that person, you become their everything. So now when you're in conflict, what happens is that the world ends in conflict. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, obviously there's the effects of like, you lack identity, you lack purpose, but you also in conflict, your world ends. One of the positive things is that the person can actually teach you a lot about yourself. Because when you date, even no matter what reason,
no matter dating, who you date,
dating will put a mirror in front of you and you will see your issues. Every single time. Do you get what I'm saying? So now when that happens, you know, you get to see your issues and you get to see, okay, cool. I actually struggle with this thing. I struggle with communication. I actually struggle with choosing myself. Mm. I actually struggle with choosing somebody else. Mm. I have traits of a narcissist. Mm. I have so many things that don't make sense, and then you get to fix them. Mm. So I think there's a whole lot more. Mm. Those are the two big ones that I've experienced when I date out of loneliness.
You're dating out of loneliness, pros and cons. Mm. Now, I feel like, you know, I think there is no pros of dating out of loneliness. I feel like there can only be cons because it's like you said, like when you build a relationship, not building it with the care of the other person, but the care of your situation, like the care of my joy, the care of what you bring me, né? You lose value for that person and you will disrespect them. You will disrespect them 10 out of 10 times. You will disrespect them.
Yeah.
You will not care about what they think of you, how you move. Like, you won't even care about their opinion, basically.
Yeah.
Because why? Why? Because you're still in your self bubble.
Like, their job is, like, give me happiness.
Yes.
It's like, when you don't give me happiness, and you're talking about your problems and your life, and, like, it's like, what are you doing? You're here for happiness. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I get that.
So now, I want to move us now. So now we're in the relationship. Mm. The relationship is going well. What are some of the things that you feel like are healthy in a relationship? I'm just going to pose a couple of like examples just so you can like speak on some of them. Is disagreeing a lot normal, for example? Should your partner make you feel happy all the time? Should they be able to make you feel sad, angry? What is their like allowance of making you feel angry? Is it few? Is it many? You understand? Some healthy expectations, trust, respect, communication, consistency, accountability. Are those entitled? Are those earned? You know, just some themes for you to talk about what basically you should expect in a healthy relationship.
Yeah, I think, okay, awesome. Beautiful.
And what you're entitled to in a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
I think that's another way.
So, beautiful, beautiful. I think in life, there's a plan and a way to do everything.
Mm.
There's a way to lose weight. There's a way to grow muscles. There's a way to start a business. There's a way to get a job.
Yeah.
And these plans are all great, but sticking to a plan is very difficult.
Mm.
And it requires a certain level of
discipline
and understanding. Mm. So I think there is no amount and there is no way and there's no direction to truly walk in a healthy relationship. I think the biggest thing for you to be focused on in a healthy relationship is love for each other, care for each other, and understanding. So it's like, no matter what happens, how willing am I to understand your situation? And how do we treat each other when we actually dancing and trying to get to the understanding? I think willingness is very, very important to a healthy relationship. And then, of course,
there's but a healthy relationship can exist.
It can exist.
You said, of course, somewhere there along the lines that, like, you don't believe that there's such a true thing as, like, a true...
No. I said, I don't think there's a way.
Oh, like one set.
One set okay, thing, sure, one set plan. Sure, sure. But I do think that, like, we must all obviously apply our minds. There's things that we shouldn't be taking.
Yeah.
Like, if someone hits you, if someone is constantly swearing at you, if someone's constantly offending you and then they don't want to, like, stop offending you, like, then you should see that, okay, cool, these things are incorrect.
Yeah.
When it comes to a healthy relationship, I think intent and planning and like the ability to try and understand what the person actually wants to yield from the relationship, that is what actually matters the most. Because we can be dating based off of what YouTube and books have told us makes a healthy relationship. But
in Western culture...
You hear what I'm saying? But if you don't speak, and if I don't say to my partner, you're like, you know, baby, you know, what actually makes me happy? I know people speak about, like, you know, men, a woman always cooking, but that doesn't make me happy.
Yeah.
What makes me happy is actually this.
Yeah.
That is what actually enables a healthy relationship. That communication and that communication to say what you actually want. Because a lot of the time we're just winging it. And then now you get into trouble every moment because now this person has told you that they like beetroot.
Yeah.
We keep buying something or cabbage.
I'm going to tackle the entitlement part of the question.
Yeah.
I think, because I feel like I agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, it really is, like, even how you measure how healthy your relationship is based on
how you guys
speak and say, are we in a healthy part of our relationship right now or not? You know, but the entitlement part I want to say is that, like, I think men are at fault at doing this majority of the time because I can't. Guys, I'm not always attacking women. You know, some people think on the podcast I'm always attacking them, but the guys also, they have a problem with it. They will introduce you to a certain love style.
Mm.
You know what I mean? A certain way of living, like you're adoring her, basically. And by the way, you're courting her, but it can also be confused for like adoring her, basically, yeah. right? Because you're courting her, you're buying, this is the beginning of the relationship now, okay, that we're in that stage. You're buying her flowers, you're doing everything, my man, you're going on dates, you're doing everything, wada wada, you know, then you stop. Now you are, now I agree, you feel like you've done.
You're in.
You've done your tax as a man. You've taken
an entrance exam.
You showed her why should you love. Agree, that's, this is an exam of why should you be with me?
Mm.
Why should you love me?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're showing her like, hey, it, besides beating her at the bowling match or whatever, the or getting the expensive wine or whatever, you are showing her, hey, this is my character and this time. So once you feel, men feel like once they've gotten enough of this, I've done enough of this, they stop. Now we are dating. Like, I want you just to, this is normal life.
Mm.
We can't now live in Monte Cassino, my baby. I mean, we have to live in real world. You know, I have work during the week. They start seeing the real parts of your life. You're stressed about this. You're stressed about that. You're stressed about, and entitlement from this part of the life still pours into this part of the life. You know what I mean? Yeah. The courting stage into the real relationship. You know what I mean? So I want to tell gents that,
and there's you're basically saying there's a big era there.
Yes, it's a big era.
Because I think just to see if we're aligned.
Yes, you're introducing them to a lifestyle that you.
You're pretentious in the beginning.
Yes,
you're pretentious.
And this poor girl is falling in love with the life you give her, the goods of life that you in the courting life. And as I said, you're basically adoring her.
Yeah.
In your adore, you like in how you're adoring her, that she says this is how the relationship is now.
Yeah.
So that when now you don't perform, it becomes what? Unhealthy. When in reality, you're moving to a different phase of a relationship. You know what I mean? But again, this is a guy's fault.
Yeah.
Because what he should have done is said, this is real life. I can do this once a week or once a month and establish rules.
Okay, spoiler, there's something to say. I acknowledge you now. But even on that realism.
I didn't see. No,
don't worry, I see you, so don't worry. If you just do it once.
Are.
But even on that realism, right? Like, I genuinely feel like men are wrong. We're pretentious in the beginning.
We're liars.
Right? We're liars
big,
about...
Big liars.
Or we lie about what we're capable to do.
Yes.
How much we can afford. We paint, but we make ourselves...
Even beyond finance, how much I can love.
How much I can love, yeah.
I'm busy calling you,
I even lie to you about how attentive I am.
Yes.
Because when you talk, I'm there like... Mm-hmm.
So when in reality, as a person, as a daughter, as a man, as a human... You're not attentive to anyone like that on earth. So what happens?
But I do want to say, and we've touched on this in the podcast, guys, in a previous episode, that attentiveness in a relationship, it reduces because of familiarity.
Yes.
And we were saying men need to genuinely work on that. We touched on that. That was very powerful.
But,
so go check out, just hold on. So go check out another podcast. But I do want to check out another episode. Can I please land?
I'm so passionate, but it's not wrong. I just wanted to add, because I feel like, you know, you only have a certain amount of time to talk about the topic until that's what people say you believe in. But it's not wrong what guys are doing to 100%. I don't think it's 100% wrong. That's all I wanted to say. Sorry.
Couldn't you wait for me to finish what I was saying?
No, I couldn't.
You say that?
Because you might agree.
But no, but if you wait, you're going to hear that I'm about to say that I also don't blame guys for being pretentious.
Thank God.
Because in those moments, if you don't behave in that manner, you could potentially not get that person. But also, guys need to fix that belief. Because women also behave and adapt to what we give them. So our biggest flop, and I hate it so much with the big passion, is social media. Social media has set standards in our minds that a woman wants something to this capacity. When in reality, a woman just wants to get to know you. And they could be happy with what you need to provide. And if you're going for a woman that can't enjoy your quality of life, that woman is not for you. Like, you are potentially aiming way too high in your financial capacity. So you need to start focusing on aiming for what you can do. Last time I told women that they need to start aiming for men that make more, men need to also aim for women that can be comfortable with how much they have.
Mm. Not comfortable with how much they should be making.
Not the future, what you have now. And I feel like if we start dating and fetching women not of that character, because it's not about like type of woman. Woman's character changes. If we find women of that character, it'll be easier to be yourself. I mean, I've heard Percy go on dates and he's surprised sometimes. The girl will be like, okay, no, like second date, first date he'll pay. And she'll offer to split, second date she will want to pay.
Mm.
He's dating a woman that is tailored to what he actually wants, what the ideal man wants. That's the ideal person.
Mm.
It's like, you know, this is a relationship. This is a... I can bring this to
Quote, unquote,
you can bring that. Yeah. So I feel like we need to stop going for these women who want something that we can't give them. Because there are men out there who want to give them that thing, and they even yearn. They yearn to give them that thing.
Can I just add one thing? Sorry. So, because you mentioned men behave that way because sometimes they believe they won't get that woman without behaving that way. Mm. That's why I said I don't. That's why I said
because of social media.
That's why I said it's not 100% wrong on men doing that. Ne?
Yeah.
Because there's sometimes you're gonna meet an Mbali. Now Mbali lives exactly like you.
Yeah.
But in Mbali's mind, Mbali is the queen of England.
Yeah.
She believes she's of a higher, I don't know, echelon.
Yeah.
But in reality, the way we're living, like, the way we're living, you're going band for band, iPhone for iPhone, cargo for cargo. You know what I mean? Like, you're living.
Like, we both have 850 in our bank account.
There's no one higher. Mara, in Mbali's mind.
Yes.
Because Mbali has
a fat ass. So now what happens? So now Mbali likes what? Mbali likes the character that you deserve.
Yes.
So now you need to leave Mbali for the good mellas that can handle Mbali.
Yes, but what I'm saying, but men will then say, okay, let me court her. So Mbali can see and I can open Mbali's mind that, hey, by the way, you're not who you think you are. We are the same. We live a similar life. You'll be fine.
But you see, I'm saying that won't work.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you will show your true colors and Mbali will show her true colors.
Yes, which is that I believe I'm a higher echelon.
That's why
which
I feel
is
like,
so dangerous and for
I'm
man today.
I'm not trying to say anybody
is so dangerous.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say anybody is wrong in this situation too. I genuinely feel like we've all been indoctrinated and taught what is meant to exist.
Yeah.
We're taught that when you go on a date, you're meant to buy flowers.
Yeah.
You're meant to pay the bill. You're meant to do all these things. Mm. And women are also taught like you're meant to receive these things.
Without saying anything.
So we just all accept. Need to do, and then we have to do a lot of unlearning.
Yeah.
Yes, a man must still lead, a woman must be submissive, and we can still play those roles in different ways. It's not always financial,
yeah.
Right? But I genuinely believe that if this is such a big issue, the way men and the way women go onto these dates needs to be a whole lot realer.
So what are some things...
Do you have something to say?
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to speak on the thing of you guys saying it's not wrong for men to be pretentious. I understand it from a pain point and an emotional perspective that, you know what, the world makes a certain type of men look ideal. But at the end of the day, dating is personal. So how many excuses are we going to have for, in a sense, hurting someone? Because it does bring a lot of pain when you have your own issues as a woman, and then a man is basically pretending to be someone that they're not. It's manipulation. Even if we can word it and decorate it however we want, however, that's not true. It's a lie. It's manipulative. It's so that you can get what you want from the situation, right? And then that's what also women can sometimes call inconsistency. You're not consistent with your actions. Now, if we're being fair and real...
Until I have an answer to what she's saying.
Same.
Now, if we're being fair and real to how we are as human beings, we all have our problems and our issues, mommy, daddy issues, whatever, we can label each other. But at the same time, it's like, you said this is who you are. This is how you were. You showed me with your actions. Then the consistency stops. So some women have this thing where maybe they have a problem of trying to earn love. Now you're wrapping this woman up again in something that she probably tried to heal from before. And you're triggering that same, like, problem again where now she feels like she needs to earn that love. She needs to, you know, like, oh my gosh, I remember when in the beginning, I know how women talk from conversations with friends. In the beginning, he was like this. So for the rest of your life, you're going to be chasing the feeling and the man you met, but that's not the real man. Yes. Mm. And it's like, that's why I think we can understand that, yes, men have pressure, but so do women. It doesn't give anyone the right or the leeway to lie about who they are and pretend to be someone else. And lastly, women actually fall in love with the way that men treat them. Tato and I were having a conversation the other time about how...
You know, Google lady are close. That's right.
We're having a conversation about how women don't have a type physically. Like, when it comes to physical type, like men, you guys can obsess over that, you know? Because also, we live in South Africa, there's an abundance of beautiful women.
Yeah.
So you have the right to be picky on who you settle with date.
Definitely.
However, women, it's like, no, I just want to be treated a certain way. So I think men subconsciously...
Which is so wrong, also.
It's not wrong to want to... It's okay to not agree. And it's okay to feel like you're not that man. But like what Tato said, there's a man out there who's yearning to be that person to another person. So how about we just let people find each other and stop pretending to be what that person wants just so we can taste who that person is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if we're holding each other accountable and being real...
Yeah.
Yeah. So to answer you, like 100%. Hold on.
You go first, yeah. Yeah. I was gonna say, do you wanna go first or should I go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, you go first.
Yeah, let me finish.
Yes, because you see how we just decided in order.
But I remember I said that like I wanna go.
Huh? No, you said. And I said, huh? And then you said I have an answer.
Oh, I was saying to
answer the question.
Reply to what you. She didn't ask me a question. To reply to what you're saying. Sorry, I'm on edge because you interrupted me, and it rubbed me the wrong way. But I'm over it now. to reply to what you're saying, 100% agree. I wasn't saying, and I think him too. I wasn't saying that what they're doing is correct. I'm saying I understand where it stems from because of social media. But 100%, like, yeah, that's my statement. Like, I agree because there's so many repercussions to that. But we need to also understand that women and men behave the way they behave because of social media. That's why platforms like these ones are so important, so we can unlearn and have corrective behaviors, corrective experiences that allow for our behavior to change. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Yeah, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I was going to say, do I see it as manipulation? I don't know, because at the end of the day, this person is courting someone that they truly feel like they love or they attracted to.
Mm.
So, you know, to a woman likes to say, if he wants to, you will. When he finally does, now it's manipulation.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Continue. Like,
I'm just asking. It's like, yeah, if he wants to, he will. So he does, as I just said, because he wants to, will, social media. Again, showing the power of what you're saying.
Mm.
But then he finally does. He does the restaurants. He does everything to try his best because he's in love with this girl.
Mm.
He wants this girl to notice him. Mm. What is so
manipulative
about trying to achieve the love of your life? Mm. You may answer that question, by the way.
Yes. Just give
because
me
you
one
said you said a woman only cares about how a man treats her. He doesn't care about how the person looks, or which is also super selfish. Because it's like
selfish because in the sense
it's like, don't you also want to give love? Or is it just about...
It's not just the...
I'm just trying to say, I mean, I get I'm going towards your point. You went with me and said manipulation. I let you speak. I'm going to speak on your points. Like, you spoke on my points, you got me. I'm getting you, Spoko lady. You spoke about a woman cares about how she's treated. She doesn't care about how the person looks or whatever. I mean, shouldn't you also care about the love you give? Just as a correction for that statement also... That's all I had.
When I said what I was saying, I wasn't taking away from the love aspect.
Yes.
That's completely different. But it is included in what I'm saying.
Yes.
Right?
So the true truths can coexist.
We fall in love with how we are loved, for example.
Mm.
Being treated that way. Like, to be loved is to be seen. And to be seen, you are treating that person that you see the way you see them. Do you understand what I'm saying? So just to give you the definition of the word manipulation, so you can understand, it's not necessarily a big bad word. Mm. I feel like you perhaps maybe feel convicted.
No, I put the man in manipulation, my sister. You can mansplain it. You can even read the definition. I know manipulation. You know what I'm saying? So
read the definition.
No, I don't need the definition.
No,
I know what manipulation means.
Let me get my point across. You asked me a question. I'm trying to
I know what manipulation means. I know what manipulation means.
Okay, but I wanted to say...
I love this. I love me
I know what manipulation means, so you can say your point. Yes.
So Spoko Lady is saying, the definition of manipulation. Manipulation means to control, influence, or manage something or someone in a clever, often unfair, and deceptive way. That's where also selfishness comes in. Why are you selfishly portraying yourself as someone that you're not to get what you want, but you know it could potentially hurt the next person? Yours is even worse. Your selfishness is coupled with manipulation. My selfishness saying, you know what, I won't settle for that. Like, but you want me so bad that you feel the necessity to completely warp yourself into a completely different human being. I'm just saying, this is what I want. You're lying. I'm not lying about what I want.
Wait, sorry. I wouldn't say, okay, let me not actually join this conversation.
No, true. Agreed. Fairs. But then, would you not say that a woman is also manipulating the man to get what she wants? Because if she wants a higher level of living, for example, and that's what she wants, that's what she deserves, she now has to manipulate a man to give it to her.
No. You go for the, you know, life is going to teach you what you deserve, first of all. So if the man that you want, you can't take a nigga from the street and say, you homeless man, you better give me what I want.
Give me
it's
what
impossible.
I want. Face.
That's what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is that there's people for it and there's people not for it. You just got to find your way.
You know what's so crazy I'm sorry like for disturbing. What's crazy about what you're saying is that like the street guy, the guy we take from the street and say, okay, cool. you don't have what it takes to have. The only difference between him being loved and not loved is money in that scenario. But whereas woman, the man only cares about girl's character.
Isn't
that's what I'm saying? Like, this, no one is more less evil than the other in that scenario.
No, she was.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't.
what is this saying?
No. I don't think so. Okay, just to quickly bring us back to what we're talking about.
Yes.
So we're talking about how a man behaves on a date and how a woman behaves on a date.
Yes.
Then we were saying that a man is pretentious.
Sure.
Right. We never spoke about a man's character. We think a man behaves how he is.
Sure.
He's maybe a little bit more attentive. Maybe he can be. Maybe his character. He's more. He's. It's the beginning of the relationship, man. He's more online. He's on. Then the woman.
Attentive. He's more attentive.
More attentive. Then the woman doesn't care for physical appearance. She wasn't saying he only cares for finance. He also cares about. She also cares about character.
Yes.
So I think her point was just that, like, no, like, we don't care about you look how you look physically. I care about how you treat me, how you speak to me, how you behave, how you treat waiters. So it's not just a financial thing; it's a character thing. It's just a sad thing that women have to. Yeah, I don't understand why women don't care about men's appearance.
So I'm saying, yeah, I agree with everything you just said. Yeah, but I'm saying, so it's, then it's like. Me as the brew from Bram, I see Mikali walking past.
Yeah,
I must close my eyes, Mus.
No.
I can't say, like, I can't go greet. I can't even, because we're saying it's pretentious to try to go for something that's outside of your.
Is
that not so unfair?
The difference in trying and a different and lying. So, for example, right now, Mikali is your. Let's just say Mikali is your. 100%. I hate to use women as an example because. Anyway, but let's just say...
Miss Universe, whatever, Miss Universe.
Yeah, Miss Universe is your type. And you're like, damn, I want that, right? Just because you want something doesn't mean, one, you deserve it and you should have it. Secondly, you have
That's so crazy.
No, but, it's true. Even with women, there's a lot of women who want... Let me land.
Okay, let me land.
So you can see Miss Universe walking down the street, like, you can go approach, but also don't warp yourself into this person because you want to... You're lying. You're being manipulative. You're controlling the scenario in a way that favors you because she doesn't know, right? She's going to give you a fair chance thinking, oh, this is okay, fine.
This is the norm.
Yes. Yeah. And then now she finds out and then you've hurt Wanabat who was just walking down the street and you couldn't control your own desires.
Fierce.
And, you know, call yourself out and say.
I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I agree.
So then how do you feel now about men like overdoing the first date after this conversation you guys have had?
It's like women tell us to go above and beyond to propose, love them, care for them, birthday, anniversary, anything. You know what I mean? Like, we must go above and beyond.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we must be realistic. But when you're realistic, you as a man won't get love. That's just a fact.
To you.
You won't get love if you are realistic.
Mm. Can you define love,
please? And I don't want this to be only on me on the podcast. I can see Tata's taking a Tabang, who's our cameraman.
No.
I'm going to ask Tabang.
So the reason why...
Tabang, is what I'm saying fair? If you as a man, you know, just said to yourself, you know what, I'll just let love find me and catch me. I won't do anything for it. I won't take anyone on dates. Someone will ask me.
No.
My brother, in Christ.
So the reason why I keep coming back to you after... Spoken Lady Speaks, now is because I'm like, okay, let me hear your perspective. Because I hear what both of you guys are saying.
No, 100%.
but I do want to say that, like...
100%.
Like, of course, you have to kind of perform, right? You have to, like, in certain moments, you have to perform, right?
But that's wrong.
For something. No, listen, let me land. You have to perform for something. So, like, on a special occasion, on a first date, you have to, you know, you have to court the person. It's courting.
Yeah.
But you need to court in your financial and mental capacity...
And emotional
capacity. To continuously do that.
Yes.
So it's okay to some days be a bit more. It's a dinner date. Obviously, you're going to be a little bit nicer, a little bit fancier. Okay. But then it's up to you to then explain, okay, cool. This is going to happen twice a month, my baby. Yeah. This is going to happen once a month, my baby.
So before the dinner date, you have to say, this is a special occasion.
Yeah, she must understand that, like, yo, like, we're going on a date. I really like you.
Now I'm hearing
I've put an effort in towards doing this thing. But, like,
now
this can happen once a month. But don't be there and be like, yeah, order whatever you want. Like, you know, Vav, get a Vav.
Yes.
Then you can't even buy the next time next week.
The next time you can't buy an airtime.
Yes. Okay. So, you have spoken lady? Aligned?
I'm aligned.
I just wanted to touch on something quickly that you said, that you wouldn't find love if you did that. Unfortunately, for me, it sounds a bit personal. You think you wouldn't find love if you were completely...
Any guy in... Dude...
honestly.
One second.
Yeah, like.
1 second.
It might be maybe a thing that you have in common with people around you, maybe your community, but it's not the case.
Can I please call your uncle Tabang? Can I call any man?
No. You can. Kenny. You can find
Kenny. Kenneth, please. Can we just have him for 1 second? 1 second. Yeah, it's just one question over time.
Even if you have multiple, that's just how you guys tie love. You tie love to performance.
Look, Tato, yeah. If you.
What's your question? Ask the question.
If you honestly.
Yeah.
I swear to you, bro.
Ask the question.
If you behaved, and I mean this in like due respect, if you behaved like a woman and you never asked anyone on a date, you never courted anyone, do you think you'd be in a relationship today?
That's different. That's not what you said.
Do you think
before.
You'd be in a relationship?
If I didn't court anybody, no.
but that's different from what he said.
Because that's what I'm saying. If I had to not perform, not give, not love, not invest, you're not going to get anything.
No, you can give.
Unless we're saying two different things.
No, you can give and love and invest at your capacity.
Yes.
Oh, at your capacity.
Yes.
Yes. No, that's fine. Yes.
I
agree with that. Yeah. But I thought you were saying that if you don't, you should just be able to just receive.
No, I'm saying love. Be yourself.
What type of men can receive love from doing nothing?
No.
No men on earth. You can call. That's what I was fighting for.
We talk about doing this at your capacity.
That's
what
I was fighting for. My bad. You don't have to be someone else to get love. I guess that was the main thing about manipulation.
Okay.
Yes.
No, then we're on the same page. I was going to fight to the end of hell.
Yeah, no.
To say a man can be loved for doing nothing.
That's what I was saying. Like, yes, must, yeah. Anyway.
That would be, I mean.
It's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you have to try. You have to make an effort.
I mean, what's the time there?
No, let's keep going.
No, I'm just checking. 1 hour now?
Yeah,
okay, cool. No, I'm on. Okay. So. I'm going to try to wrap these into two one thing.
You don't have to. Let's keep going.
What changes once you're in a relationship now?
Mm,
so
that's a nice question.
Now we've debacled, you've debated. Man.
Yeah.
So there's the giving, you've given, you've loved, courted, you've stopped courting, whatever. Some continue, some stop.
Yeah.
There's different, you said communicating to know you're ready. Now you're practicing your readiness in the relationship.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you feel like has to change when you're in a relationship? Let's start there because these are the easy ones.
That has to change.
Has to. These are the ones that are easy.
It has to change in any way.
From being you guys are single to just talking.
Oh, I've got so many, dude.
I think these have to be there. Yeah.
I don't think and this is for guys. Women is a bit different. But women too.
Do you want me to do what I did last time? Sorry.
Let us tie all of them. It's okay.
Okay.
I think people that are in a relationship, like a guy shouldn't have too many single friends at all.
Continue.
Yeah. No, I think a guy shouldn't have too many single friends in a relationship because the way someone in a relationship thinks will always contradict with the way that a person that is single thinks.
So what does that mean? Do they cut off the...
No.
That's what I was asking.
Not that they cut off. They still exist, but it's okay. They still exist, but it's like you then need to really understand that when your single friend gives you advice on something, can you really take that advice? It's like taking advice... Like you can't take advice from a broke person on how to make money. Do you get what I'm saying? A person that's never tasted financial freedom. So the way you view your friend's input when they are as their single ones needs to change.
Yeah,
that's one of them. I think that's actually a very, very, very big one that needs to exist.
Yeah.
Because if I come to you for relationship advice, you will say, keep going, bro. You can try. You'll find a way. You know how they like.
Yeah.
If I go to Tumi, who's in a relationship, she'll say, nah, dude, you know you can get
it.
If I go to Subisiso.
Leave her.
Subisiso, he might not say leave her, but he'll say, come on, bro. You can do it, bro. Like, it's about you.
Yes, so that is so real.
So that thing can really affect a relationship. So that's for the...
That's so real.
Yeah, so I think I started off in a snacks way. I wasn't wording myself properly.
No, but now you landed.
Now
it
I've landed. You get me. So that needs to really, that needs to be a very big thing.
Okay.
And then I think there's a style of dating, man. So I'm with you there by courting. Courting, there's a style to court. You know what I'm saying? When you court, there's a style. It's a let's go first date. Let's go on a dinner. Second date, let's go bowling. Third date, maybe let's go to the zoo because we are strangers. We have to be in public, safe environments. Yes, you must be. Who you are, you must be your core.
Mm.
There's a style. Then when you start dating, there is a style to dating that women and men need to understand. Now that we are doing life together, we need to then also become a little bit vulnerable. with our realities and our strongholds, right? I need to be able to say to you, you know what, dude, you know, courting you was amazing. This was fun. I've chosen you and you've chosen me. But let me tell you about my week, baby girl. Monday, I am at the mine. I'm mining from 6 a.m. up until 5 p.m. So my emotions now, because you know when you're courting somebody, the date is the moment of interaction. And then usually what's in between, you can be talking, but then the next activity is the next date. When you're dating, the style is different because now you are each other's everything. You're my person, I'm your person. So they want to have access to you on the phone. They want to be able to talk to you. They want to be able to receive that date in infinity. You know what I'm saying? So now the style changes. So you have to understand that the style of dating is not similar to the style of courting. You need more communication. You need more vulnerability. And in those moments, we need to then decide what is our style. You need to design that style together. That's what needs to exist when you start dating. Because if you don't have that stand-up meeting, that brainstorm,
the rules and regulations
of relationship and how it needs to live and exist, then my man, you're gonna just go down.
What responsibilities come, and Spoken Lady, you can answer this for like the female side. What responsibilities do you think come with being in a relationship? We'll speak on the men, and then you tell us on the woman's side. What do you think? Because for the men, I think we know the traditional ones, provide.
Don't rush your answer.
No, I'm thinking it's provide, it's love, it's respect, it's to cherish, and also to make sure this person is like taken care of, like loved. Yeah, that's my answer. I don't know. Do you have any?
What's the question again?
What responsibilities come with commitment?
So when you start dating, now I've got responsibilities. What are they? So I was saying, like, as a man, of course, it's like you have to protect.
Protect.
Emotional protection, physical protection. Yeah. And then you have to provide. Yes. That can look in many different ways. Yes. Either you're giving the person emotions, education, teaching them things.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, because you know, I feel like men also, I don't know, women, I think when you start dating, we actually do such an amazing cross transfer of skill when you date. I think that's a big thing that men provide and women provide. Like, I can be a doctor and then I'm dating a lecturer in information systems, whatever.
But then she teaches you about information.
Then she teaches me the systems that she's learned in that thing. I'm teaching that's a big, for me, that's one of the most beautiful ways we can provide for each other.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm basically inheriting your degree.
Yeah.
Or inheriting your mind.
Yeah.
So I think that's also like a beautiful way to view providing. Yeah. Yeah. So what are some responsibilities that women need to provide or give in a relationship?
I think just to try to balance the fact that you're not alone anymore. So it's no longer just like a me. It's like, okay, this is us now, okay. You think of how your decision, even whether big or small, how does that affect your partner?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Also sometimes I know a lot of men like to say, oh, I am all for double standards, but if the tables were reversed, you know, is it fair? If we're being healthy, I get what you guys are talking about, healthy relationships.
Yeah.
If we're being healthy and realistic, would you be okay if your partner did that thing that you did too? Like, because those things kind of, it feels like.
So is that the responsibility that you're,
it's like consideration. I think it's,
yeah,
that's the word.
What she's saying is a banger, but I'm dying at the question. The question is, what responsibilities do you have? So she's there like, I'm responsible for monitoring double standards.
No, I'm saying that you're responsible for keeping in mind.
Yeah, so I'm just making a joke.
Yes.
If you look at how that's going to affect you, because also that can kind of leave a bitter taste in someone's mouth when it feels like maybe you respect your partner's boundaries, but it feels like, you know, they don't have those same boundaries for themselves. It's just for you. It's almost like a control measure other than like, I'm not comfortable with this.
Yeah.
But are you not comfortable with this, or you just don't want me, you know?
Facts.
So that's
facts.
On an emotional basis, that's what you need to consider.
Yeah.
And physical.
I think nurturing is a big one. Maybe you can speak about nurturing. I think that's nurturing a big thing.
Woman will hold a man when he's crying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not crying. I mean,
emotional regulation.
When he's on the, that's a big responsibility.
Yeah, I think that's one thing also. Personally, for me, dating, I understand how much emotions affect us, men and women, right? So I try my best to kind of, it can be a bit overwhelming sometimes, maybe in the beginning. I don't know, my partner will say. But I try to push for maybe like conversations that can at least make you aware of your current mental state, if that makes sense. Because sometimes you don't understand that you're also bleeding on someone, even if it's unintentional. But it's like, okay, we can't get across this conversation, or we can't get through in this conversation to each other. But maybe I've noticed that, okay, my partner's bleeding on me. They don't mean to, but they're bleeding on me, and vice versa. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I think.
You have to have that sensor as a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sensor to see and to and try and encourage us to unpack. Because men are so, we grew up in a man's world. Yeah, grew up in a world where you're hardened. Yeah.
Old.
So when you date, it's so nice to have someone that can like soften you up a bit and allow for those things.
Yeah,
it's just realization. Yeah.
And then I just one of my final questions, and then we'll obviously just give overall advice as usual. But what are some things that would surprise single you about being in a relationship?
Oh man, I have so many, bro. Like so many surprises, so many good and so many bad.
Yeah.
Like
so many good and bad.
So many good and bad. Like, let me start with good to soften the blow. But like, with the good ones is like, dude, you would be so surprised how much fun having
a partner,
someone
is.
That is like having someone that's always there is, and someone that understands you. Like the layering of the what's it called? You know the jokes. Inside jokes.
Yes.
They layer over months, my man.
Yeah.
It's like you guys become in one. The synergy is insane. You can really just like tango and dance and talk with just your eyes, with just a hand.
Yeah.
Just a gesture.
A touch.
Just a word that stems from a previous experience. Yeah. It's so beautiful.
Basically,
you gain your own world. Yeah.
Which is very beautiful.
A bad thing is that you can really lose self-identity.
Yeah, 100%.
You really can lose who you are. Like, you can forget about your goals, you can forget about your aspirations for yourself.
Yeah.
Because now men naturally start focusing on doing things to give, doing things to make money to give to the partner.
Yeah.
So now they used to, when you're single, you do things because you have dreams and there's purpose and you want to give yourself things. But when you date, it's like, let me do all these things to give the partner.
Yeah.
So it's like, you really lose your identity there. Like, and it's so bad. And it's so hard to
unlearn. And then you're living for the partner.
Living for the partner, yeah. Now you're just like, obviously like, yeah.
Yeah, I think, I like how you did like, good surprises, bad surprises.
Soften the blow, my man.
Yeah, let me start with the good. No, I think that one of the things that really shocked me, that a lot of people actually don't know is that like relationships are equally peaceful and hard, and like equally peaceful, equally hard. The moment the hardness is over the peaceful, that's when you're in the negative. You're losing profit. You're losing. Yeah,
if you're having too much fun, there's hell on the way.
There's hell on the way. If you're too peaceful, it means you haven't spoken for a long time. You know, so the equalness of that, and also like dating a hard worker is so important. And what I mean by that is like a hard worker in your relationship.
Mm.
A person who actually wants to work with you for the relationship. I've met so many guys that are like in these like super long relationships,
yeah.
And they don't even know, like they try not even poke at their partner because they're so scared.
It's like grizzly bear.
So scared. If they say I feel.
Okay, not on the I feel, but that was funny.
If you just say anything,
but if you offend the grizzly bear,
I'm telling you the truth. There are people that are scared, and I mean like both sides, women also that I've met that are terrified.
They're
of their partners.
Terrified.
They say that if I tell that guy that he did this, oh, he's gonna
hold it.
He's going to tell you everything you are.
Yeah.
This, that. You know. So, like, I love to just try to get everybody on the same page, which is like really impossible for relationships.
Yeah.
And just basically getting to my point of like my advice, kind of. It's like, you need to be able to, like, I love the world metaphor that we did. You need to be able to build a land that has amusement. It has a workout session. It mustn't only be
emotional things.
Yeah. There must be a workout. There must be a pool. When for times to relax, there must be a sauna.
There must be a quiet zone.
There must be a quiet zone. There
must be a loud zone.
And also, look, if you look into the corner, there's an exit door. Mara, it's very small. There must always be an exit door.
But now, if you're in this world and you are in this world and you see the light of the exit door, there's an issue.
Yeah.
Because why can you see that light? It must be far.
It must be closed.
It must be a dim light. It must be
behind the spa. Yes. If you go down, and you take a golf cart, by the way, yes. Other men.
You must even drive past that exit side and not recognize it. But, to show that you're happy.
But if you see exit, Tato, there are other men. You enter their worlds. Are you approached by a T-Rex? I'm a greeter. He's running as soon as he enters his well. What does he do? He's running, he passes the supermarket, he picks up a bottle of Jameson. One. Now he's hiding.
Then he finds the person owning the world at the top of the mountain, far smoking a guai.
Saying, come, hide, you want to leave. Now you're hiding in a bunker in his house. He says, there's four hands on the way coming to help us, just to ease the pain.
The guy tells you, relax. Don't engage.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign.
And then he leaves the room, he goes to exit, and he meets you who has the spa and says, yes. And he says, how's your relationship?
And then and you say, I say namaste.
You say namaste.
I say namaste, I'm at peace.
So that's my very important relationship. Yeah. What does your world look like?
Yeah.
If you are running away from a T-Rex, my man. Oh, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Run to the exit sign.
Find the light, my man.
You need to.
We're actually such advocates of people breaking up on this podcast.
I'm a big. Leave. You must leave. Obviously, and this is also a very important part of a relationship, man. The leave word, get out word, breaking up word is taboo. Obviously, in relation, when you're in it, right? But me and my partner, we love this ideology that we can leave, but we don't because you are the one I want. When you remove that, you can't, you must never, you must, don't you ever say you're going to leave me. Are you Jesus that we can't leave you in faith, nothing?
Yeah.
You are the higher Messiah. We can't escape you.
Yeah.
You must never say that in front of me. What?
Yeah. Dude,
I want you to be able to look at me and be like, I can leave. And I'm because I know that you're here for a reason.
Yes.
You're here because
I hear that. I hear that. Man. I think that's very powerful. But I also think there's power in the tongue. So it's
definitely.
In conflict and stuff, you shouldn't say like, oh, I can.
Yes.
But it's like, it should be in a stated space. It should be like, dude, you know,
back of your mind.
If this isn't working, we can actually like, you know. Yeah. Approach is very important.
Yeah. 100%.
Yes. Can I give my answer?
Yes. And don't forget, you must give your advice for the end.
Oh, the advice.
Yes. Because I gave
my advice. Give your answer and your advice.
Yeah.
Single me would be shocked that I'm in a relationship and I'm not hiding my partner.
Nice one.
And
you don't post the shoulder.
Yeah.
Post the whole thing. Yeah.
Post the ID. We like to call it ID book.
ID book. That's something yet.
Oh. And also she would be shocked that I'm braver in relationships, that I can speak on what hurts me, what worries, and stand on it. You know, like, you know what? Like whether it's repeat, and I kind of have a default that, because I don't think the worst of people, I will always think, no, they didn't mean it like that, you know, but at the end of the day, it's hurting me. So even if he didn't, like, so yeah, she'd be shocked that I can stand on that.
That's powerful.
And also not just quit on things and just leave. Because like you guys said, I also am a leaver. I will leave.
You believe in leaving.
I believe in leaving, you know. Yeah. But the fact that I'm working through hard times, you know, like,
yeah,
okay, let's try. Even if maybe you're not understood the first time, it's not like you're giving up. It's like, okay, think brainstorming ways on how to better communicate. So, yeah.
It's a marathon, guys, not a sprint.
Yeah.
If you really want to be in love, just know you've inherited your worst enemy and your best friend in all in one.
100%.
100%. But, what's your advice?
And then my advice. Sorry.
Your advice, yeah.
Okay, my advice is from a post that I saw. I'll read it, but think about it in a relationship stance, right? Mm. So it says, by the way, you have every right to call me out as a friend if you don't feel loved or cared for by me. It's not entitlement. I owe it to you. That's what I signed up for when we started our friendship, right? So this is on a friendship level. And I think even in relationships, you have every right to communicate with me.
Definitely.
You have every right. And so do I. It's vice versa. So create a safe space for your partner to be able to communicate with you, and also kind of communicate if maybe your partner isn't making it safe, and maybe suggest ways to make it safer for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Yeah,
very beautiful. I think for me, man, you guys know my advice. You guys know my thoughts. I think for me, I hope you guys took something from this podcast.
Yeah.
I don't want to add anything more. I think my co-host ended beautifully. Spoke Lady also threw a banger there. I think if there's a moment in this podcast where you felt something, I think don't be scared to pick up a phone or a piece of pen and paper and just unpack that thing. I think these podcasts...
Or comment, because we love to have that conversation.
Yeah, I want to have the conversation.
Have the conversation.
Yeah, so comment, after commenting, just really like unpack it, man. There's power in writing how you feel and then asking what next, what now, then what, or how do I fix this? I think just take that journey with yourself because it can really change a lot in your life. I think the more we consume content like this, the more we try to improve our minds and just better ourselves, life does become a little bit sweeter. I won't lie to you. Because we were never equipped for the harshness of the world. No matter how much your parents could have tried, life is tough. Relationships are tough. Friendships are tough. Business is tough. Work is tough. So give yourself some grace and understand that every day, if you can put an effort towards watching content like this, journaling and packing your mind, you can really go
something, yeah.
Go further and have a sweeter life. Yeah. On that note, guys, thank you so much for watching this episode. This was a ton of fun.
It's amazing.
You guys know that I'm Bitty Brothers. We're consistent, baby. We love this podcast. We love speaking to you guys. Last week really opened our eyes, and it's making us really try innovate this podcast. Like, we're trying this book, Lady. We're trying to give you guys a voice.
Special episode.
We're trying special episodes. We're trying to unpack your guys' stories. And if you guys are enjoying that, please go give us a follow on social media. Give us a follow in our personal capacity, man. Go follow Tata Rambedi. Go follow Lebo Rambedi. Go follow Seated. We'd appreciate it. But we will see you guys next week, Wednesday. You know, every day we are trying to make this better. So Wednesday, 3 p.m. Danko. Issue. Seated. 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 Seated.